G'day, it's Friday the 9th of December 2015. If you're just joining this for the second part of this editorial, in the first 9 minutes or so, I was talking about the winding up of the Royal Commission, the Trade Union Royal Commission, and the minimum number of issues I think it needs to revisit to provide a factual and complete report. And the first couple I touched on in that first part of the editorial was, number one, the use to which the power of attorney from Bluer to Wilson was put, and the massive and irreconcilable conflicts of interest that Gillard had in allowing matters to proceed in the way that she did. That's on top of whether or not she witnessed it on the date she purports to have witnessed it on. And the second issue relates to the broader conflicts of interest that she had, Slater and Gordon and her partners had, in acting for both the tenant and the landlord, for the lender and the borrower, for the mortgagee and the mortgagor, and for the promoter of the loan and the person who get it, all at the same time. Now, some of those were unable to be reconciled at law and would have got Slater and Gordon in the CAC with their professional indemnity insurers. The Royal Commission didn't investigate any of that. And why is it fundamental? Why is it important? Because the Royal Commission is putting forward the story that Gillard acted in a conventional manner. For you to believe that she has no culpability, you've got to believe that what she did, what she says she did, she actually did, and that is to act in a conventional, normal manner in the managing of this, you know, money laundering exercise, buying Kerr Street. Let's move on. Point number three that I wanted to raise is it's critical and it changes everything. And the commission didn't discover it. It's this. On the day that Blewett provided $67,000 of the the Workplace Reform Association's money, there was an interchange of correspondence between Bill Ludwig's lawyer, Con Shacker, and Slater and Gordon on the explicit topic of the Commonwealth Bank and the provision of $67,000. It's so clear it's talking about the Workplace Reform Association handing over money to purchase Kerr Street. Now, think this through. This is Bill Ludwig's lawyer, Con Shacker, corresponding with Slater and Gordon. We know the document exists. We know the Royal Commission's got the power to walk in and take it, to grab it. Slater and Gordon purports to have a proper and lawful claim of client legal privilege over the copy of the document that exists, because it says, well, we had to take legal advice about this matter because obviously it's dodgy. And therefore, we appended a couple of notes to the document and put it in front of their solicitor, in front of the professional legal indemnity insurer provider's solicitor, Phillips Fox. And therefore, now we say there's a proper and appropriate claim of client legal professional privilege over that document. Yes, it exists, but you can't have it, because we used it for the provision of legal advice. What? Commissioner, look, you would know as well as a layman in the street that lawyers can't do things in the furtherance of fraud. You know that the definition of fraud is broad. You know that the mischief sought to be prevented is exactly the sort of mischief that these people were up to. And yet, we continue to maintain the fiction that those documents are properly protected by client legal professional privilege in that they were created for the purpose of getting legal advice. Now, the documents were not created for that purpose. They were created to conceal a dodgy transaction, money laundering, involving the person who became the Prime Minister of Australia, installed by who? Well, the very trade union headed by the man whose solicitors sent the note about how to treat the $67,000. We can't know about it, because you recognise Slater and Gordon's claim of client legal professional privilege. You've got to be kidding. Now, these documents not only were used in the furtherance of fraud, manifestly, they have also been shared with others. This question of confidentiality having been maintained too, I think is erroneous. It's not. It hasn't been. Commissioner, for goodness sakes, how you could claim your commission has looked at, examined, discharged the terms of reference, the letters patent that authorised the spending of 80-odd million bucks of our money, without looking at that issue. This is Bill Ludwig with his fingerprints through his lawyers right on the day the money laundering exercise took place. You've written him out of involvement in this matter. My God. He was there on the night, according to the bloke who set the thing up, Wilson. He was there on the night with the boss of Thies, Martin Albrecht. That's an entirely plausible explanation for this course of conduct matter, the Workplace Reform Association, that it was done with the knowledge of Thies, the knowledge of Ludwig. And this piece of evidence would be fundamental to getting Mr. Ludwig before the commission to explain himself, but you didn't do it, and you pretend it didn't exist. Goodness me. I'm trying to limit the number of things that I talk about here, so I'll move on from that Shaka matter. The fifth thing I'd like you to consider is Wilson's departure from the union. This bloke's a fighter. This bloke doesn't fold under flimsy allegations. And on the face of it, the reason he departed the union was because he was found to have put money into the wrong bank accounts. There was no finding that he misused it. There was no finding that he improperly sought it. What I have discovered recently, and what you didn't, and what Stolger didn't advise you about, is that one of the contributions into the slush fund that got him sprung, the Members Welfare Association, came from Thies in answer to his invoice from the Workplace Reform Association. That changes everything. $20,000 came from Thies, made out to Australian Workers Union Workplace Reform, banked into this thing that became the subject of scrutiny and legal advice for Wilson from Slater and Gordon, and that is the Members Welfare Association. They only had half a dozen transactions to check. What's this, Bruce? You got the payment notice? Yep, here it is. Oh, mate, it's from an invoice for that thing that Gillard set up. Workplace Reform Association, 20 grand. You better hand that back. You better shut this account down. You better ping off from the union. That's what happened. The report at present talks about Blewett having been the only person within the AWU who banked money into the Workplace Reform Association's accounts. Well, they'd shut by April in 95, and two further checks came in. One of them went into Members Welfare in Melbourne, and the money, the proceeds, were returned to Thies, and Thies accepted it. Thies said, look, pardon me, all our payments to the AWU have been proper, all made out to the AWU. Even when the AWU raised them and said, listen, there's some controversy about this. Oh, no, it's all good, it's all good. Thies did not disclose the fact of its explicit and clear categorisation of the payee as being this Workplace Reform Association. Why? They were in on the deal. It's patently obvious. And yet you've got this unbelievable notion that Thies was deceived and that there has been a fraud. It was on Thies and it was only done by two blokes, Wilson and Blewett. Everyone else is a victim. Good luck prosecuting Blewett and Wilson on that. Now, let me just limit the number to this final point. The renovations of Gillard's place were done with Wilson's use of money from his dodgy associations. She's always declared her innocence, she didn't know. And that may have been plausible, except, Commissioner, you've now found, because you had no alternative, because the bloke Athol James is so credible, you've now found that Gillard not only had her renovations paid for by the money Wilson got improperly from the sham deals, but she laundered it. She laundered it. How can you say this is a flimsy, trifling, passing matter? He hands her the cash. She says, shit, if I just paid this off with Bruce's cash, friggin' hell, if we ever come unstuck, it's going to look real bad. I know what I'll do. I'll take the cash and launder it. I'll put it through my bank account. I'll pretend it was mine. And then I'll write a check out to this bloke, and then I can say with hand on heart, the money came from me, from my bank account. Mate, I spent a few years in the coppers, charged, I don't know, 100 people, something like that, sat down, record records of interview. How can you not see this on her actions on her part as so damn explicitly crooked to take the money from Bruce, pass it through her bank account, pretend it was hers in the first place, write a cheque out on the strength of it so it looks better, and she can say, look, all that money came from me. For God's sakes. Then when the rest of the renos are done, she claims, oh, no, I had no idea. What, Bill was bloody engaging contractors on my behalf?